Hi, welcome, BBS. Welcome to everyone on BBS listening, and we're just waiting. Everyone is here. We're just waiting for Gwen to arrive.
So greeting people on the line.
Gwen is in Tucson.
Oh.
He knows what the call.
Okay.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please state your name and your city.
This is Ron in Mountain Grove, Missouri.
Hey, Ron.
Hi.
How are you
doing? Good.
I'm good.
Yes. Welcome to the call. This is our Wednesday night.
Hi, Catherine from California.
Hi, good evening.
Hi.
Hi.
Good evening.
I heard from Frances today. She got hip surgery. She got a hip replacement, and she said she's doing well.
Okay. Good.
Oh, good.
Hooray.
Good. That's great.
Hip, hip, hooray.
Oh,
that's cute.
Hi, good evening. Welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and city? Or you can remain in the background. That's okay, too.
Hey, Colleen, have you eaten at the Peaceful Restaurant in Vancouver?
The Peaceful Restaurant?
Peaceful Restaurant, a Chinese restaurant.
Oh, I don't know. There are quite a few Chinese restaurants here, that's for sure. We have good sushi as well. Hi, good evening. Welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and city?
Hi, good evening. It's Eric in Santa Fe.
Hi, Eric. How are you?
Hi, Eric.
Hi there.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Did someone
else
come on? Over DC?
What?
And there was some really good Chinese restaurants there.
The
Green
yeah,
Door
right.
And the Red Door.
Peaceful was on that Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives show looked really good. They make the noodles by hand right in front of you. They spin the dough into noodles. Really cool.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, right now, we have a lot of nice Thai restaurants, and there's a lot of restaurants where they have their specialties, like noodle dishes. I guess it's Japanese, and we have tons of sushi places. And, yeah, it's the best. You should come visit. Hi, good evening. Welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and city?
Dharmananda, Boulder Creek.
Hi, Don. And someone else?
No, Dharmananda.
Dharmananda.
Oh, hi. Good evening.
Hi, Dharmananda.
I love that name.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Dharmananda.
Hi.
Susan in Virginia.
Hi, Susan. Good evening.
Hi.
So we're just here waiting for Wynn, and he's in Terry City's in Tucson?
He is in Tucson, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Caroline, Okotoks.
Hello, Caroline.
Hi.
Hi, good evening.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Ron.
Hi.
Is Wynn where the snow is over there?
No, I'm where the snow is.
Are you?
And Maryland and Flagstaff is where there's even more.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Yeah, lots and lots of snow.
How much snow, Maryland?
Well, we got 8 inches more on Tuesday, I guess it was, Monday. It snowed all day. And when they cleared our roof, the snow is piled up to the top eave of the roof outside our house.
Wow.
And then it was
for that kind of snow?
Well, we do have quite a bit of snow. And it does come in bunches, you know, 2 feet or 3 feet.
Oh, so you're
at a
off
time.
The
and we are. I'm just below. We're at 7,500 in Flagstaff, and the mountain goes to 1,200.
Wow.
Feet, but it is really, really beautiful. And then it got down to 7 below last night.
Wow. I never would have thought that for Arizona.
Well, you can have any kind of weather you want in Arizona.
I did not know that.
Yeah, there's palm trees where Wynn is.
And the snowstorm made it quiet.
And great big cactus where Wynn is.
I think it depends on the elevation.
And then Terry's at 4,500 in Sedona, and that's high desert.
Yeah, from Tucson to the Grand Canyon, you go through 7 ecosystems.
Wow.
7 ecosystems. Wow.
I saw that in a film, yeah. The guy rode his bike through all of them. Mountain bike all the way down.
Interesting.
Well, it's really beautiful. Any part of Arizona is really beautiful.
I love the snow. It was so powdery and fine, and it just was beautiful coming down.
So, Marilyn, do you have grass in the summer?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have grass and flowers, and we're not above the water line.
Oh, okay.
Flagstaff's beautiful.
Yeah, it really is. The trees are marvelous.
Welcome to the call. Please state your name and your city. Hello.
Raiden Knight, Cave Creek, Arizona.
Hello, Raiden. Welcome
to
the call.
Hi, Raiden.
Thank you, Joni.
Speaking of Arizona. You want to report your weather in Arizona?
We were just talking about that.
I don't know. Kind of clear skies, but maybe about 58.
Not bad.
Not bad. Yep. No, Cave Creek's down near Phoenix.
Well, it's about 30 miles more.
We had 56 up here in Michigan, and that's very, very warm for us.
Yeah, you got
Yeah.
We had 61 where I am near Cleveland. There's a new record high for today.
Yeah.
Wow.
Whoa.
Unusually warm this year.
Wow.
Oh, hello,
Robin. I like global warming.
Did you hear Wynn on Monday talk about detachment?
Yes.
Wasn't that an incredible call?
That was a great call.
Good call.
It was.
Yeah,
I keep wanting to listen to it again because
I know.
It was like, it's amazing how he talks about things that you're kind of thinking about anyway, and then he'll talk about it, and it's like, whoa, that's just great.
Mm-hmm. I think Tucson really agreed with him. He was in rare form.
Yeah.
Finally. Oh, is anybody else having trouble getting through tonight?
No.
Where's Raiden? Called the new number?
Where's Raiden? Is he there?
Yes.
Raiden.
Yeah.
What number did you dial? 641? This is Joni. 641?
Yeah, I dialed the 641, then the 89767610. That's always the regular one. He just goofed up. He goofed up and sent out the wrong email. I got a hold of him.
Yeah, I was dialing Monday night's number, but then when I did find an old Wednesday night's number, it wouldn't let me through. It was still circuit busy. So then I called the station. And he gives me the old number for Wednesday night. I get the recording. And then I said, I got to go back to that email on Wednesday email to get the pin. So it's been, is everybody here?
So
the number for Monday and Wednesday is the same, right? It's 641-715-3655.
But if you look at the last email he sent out, you've got a link
because
all the numbers.
It may be a typo.
Yeah.
Well, my new list is up in the bedroom, And so I didn't want to go upstairs. I thought, okay, well, let me hunt down another email here. So I'm just glad we got it.
I better call him because in case he is on the line with a bunch of other people.
Wouldn't you know that? But okay, thank you, Terry.
Okay.
Hi, someone else just came into the Wednesday night call. Would you like to say your name, City?
Yes, hi, this is Suzanne in Columbus.
Hi, Suzanne, how are you?
Hi, Suzanne.
Good,
hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Wednesday, question and answer.
Yes, we're just trying to find, Terry's gone to find Wynn. He's in Tucson tonight, so we're waiting for him.
In the meantime, we're doing question and answers of our own.
Yes, okay. Who's got all the answers? Who's got all the answers?
Well, we have lots of questions.
Me too.
I don't know if they're right or not.
How many people sent questions tonight here?
I did.
Good.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I didn't.
I did not. Yes.
I think there's still time to send one.
Yeah. There probably is.
Depends on when he gets here if we'll have time to get to it.
Oh,
walked into a bar.
But I'm pumped.
Yeah, to have a drink along the way.
No, I think he's dialing the old number and it's not getting through.
Oh. Radio station.
Give you the new number.
Well, it sounds like it's time to hang up and type a question in the phone.
Well, they're giving out the wrong number from the radio station, too.
Oh, but if you phoned that other number, there would be nothing there, right?
Well,
that's a win, maybe.
I thought that they gave you the new number.
The recording does once you get into this old number, but then it was circuit busy.
It'll be right here. He's sending out a new email with the corrected phone number.
Oh.
Well, it's 12 minutes after the hour already, so it's almost over already.
I emailed him and told him what's the number tonight.
Yeah.
We're a dedicated lot, aren't we?
Yes.
We are. Patience.
I wanted to tell you, Colleen, that I sent you an ozone machine today.
Oh,
yesterday.
Nice. Great. Thank you.
Yeah. So you should get it soon.
I get a hold of
it. We got a whole lot of ozone machines in yesterday.
Wow. So, I'm sure there's a lot of people that want to try it and haven't bought one yet.
Yes.
Everybody keeps asking about them.
Yeah, we're getting steady orders for them, and people like the energy that the ozone water gives them.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I know. I can tell the difference if I don't take it one day.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just be dragging, and
They're from China, right?
How much are you taking a day, Colleen?
Well, I had a sore throat, so I really drank about 3 glasses this morning on an empty stomach. Mm. And what it will do is take away all the symptoms of a cold or a sore throat, and pretty much till evening, and then it might come back a little bit, and so maybe I can have some more. But
gargling.
I don't want to be up all night,
Gargling with the ozone water?
Oh, that's a good idea. Should.
A good idea would be for Wynn to advertise this on George Norrie.
Yeah.
That would be the best bet. He could maybe sell $200,000 worth of them.
Oh, I don't think George Norrie, I don't think the radio would let you, would they?
Yeah. No, I don't think that's a good idea.
George Norrie allowed him to do it a few times already. His patents for free.
Oh.
So maybe he'll allow him to do it again.
Well, He was thinking of advertising the pendants on George Norrie.
I thought he did that.
I remember he did that once, so maybe he'll allow him to do the ozone machines.
Gary, did you mention something? Is that on the website?
Pardon?
Was that on the website or over the, when he was on the air?
When he was on the air, he talked about the pennants. And George was really good. George said Edgar Casey recommended having a coin, carrying a coin in one hand. And then he told about the pennants. Good evening.
Okay.
Would you like to say
I'm here.
Anybody?
I'm here.
He's here.
Ray.
Ray.
We made it. Is Mercury still retrograde?
No.
January 27th, it was in retrograde. It's over already.
I think it's permanently retrograde.
maybe I'm reversed. Okay.
It left you in a reversal.
I wonder if you're born with Mercury retrograde.
It doesn't affect you if you're born with it.
Yeah.
It doesn't?
Anybody I've met,
you know,
when they're born with it, it doesn't affect them.
It doesn't.
No.
Oh, thank you.
Nope.
I lost my cell phone yesterday. But in any case,
were
my
you
ear
born Mercury retrograde?
I don't
it
know.
It happens to the best of us.
Listen, I'm just trying to make excuses, okay?
Oh, okay.
So let me see here. We better get started right away, okay?
Yes.
All right.
Okay. So we haven't started the recording yet, of course.
Colleen, did you?
Yes.
Were you the greeter today?
Yeah, I was. Yeah.
Yeah, she did a real good job.
Huh?
She did a real good job.
Oh, thank you. Oh, we had a good time talking.
Good. See, this is where you have to figure out what to do if Wynn doesn't show up.
Oh, no.
We were talking.
All right, here we go. I'm muting you all.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Jerry, are you relaxed?
No.
This is February 3rd, 2016. You hear that ding that just came in? That's somebody that just got my email. It said, oh, he finally sent us the right phone number. Okay, sorry about that.
Do you want me to turn the recording on? You haven't turned it on.
I didn't turn it on?
No. I can turn
it on. This conference is being recorded.
Oh, well, thank you. This is February 3rd, 2016. Wynn and Terry in Arizona having a dyslexic moment, okay? Sending out the wrong phone numbers. Correcting it, but we're back. And as usual, we're not ready. So, I, the Elohim never get nervous. You know that, Terry?
No, they don't. They comfort me. They come in and they say, don't worry about it. You know, we're going to do a good job. I'm like, well, what are we going to say? We don't know. We have to hear the questions first.
All right. Okay. So let's get started. I got my questions opened. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry and myself. Any negativity be taken to the highest realm of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive,
service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us, we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes, this is Ra On. We are an element of the Ra group and part of the Elohim group. And we join you with joy today, the 3rd of February, 2016. We take a moment and we overlook the United States and we overlook the ocean. And we overlook Europe. And we welcome each and every one of you to the call. Do you have questions?
Yes, we do. I have the first question here. And my first question is, you know, there's two aspects to a human. There is their belief system, and there is their energetics, their chakra. Energetics. When you die, what's the relative importance of both of those things?
They work together. The belief system helps to monitor the frequency of spin of the chakra system. And so when a person dies, it depends upon their spin and upon of the chakra system and on their belief system. So their belief system has an effect upon the spin of their chakra system. So their belief system, if we were to put both of them into perspective, would be the senior thing that would then help to monitor and modulate their chakra system. That is our answer.
Okay, so when a person dies, do they take their belief system with them?
They do, yes. They do take their belief system with them. Although there are factors such as if the person has been kept on drugs their whole life, they could then, as they move out of their drug haze, they could become more sane as they move out of their body and out of the effect of the drugs that the drugs have had on them.
Mm-hmm.
That is a physical circumstance that affects the body, and then as a result of affecting the body, it also affects the mind.
We've had a circumstance where we have talked to someone, we think, the past, and oftentimes they didn't seem to remember many of the things of their physical life. Like I would ask questions, what's your phone number? Or who is your manager's name? And is that very common, that people don't remember those kinds of details?
Some of the people do remember, but some of the people do not remember. It depends upon the individual. If the individual is fractured, has been fractured, then as they move into the past, into the other side, they will not remember some of them who move smoothly into the other side will remember.
Mm-hmm.
It fades as the person has other experiences, the memories fade.
Thank you. So some people will be able to remember all the details. Yeah.
Some people will, other people won't.
Okay. Question from Melissa in Ventura. She's going through some turmoil with her career. She didn't say what it was, but she says, I will be doing something different, but at the same school. I'm stressed out over this. How will this go for me? Thank you, Melissa Ventura. You know, Melissa, normally we'll let them answer it, but when you say, how will this go for me, oftentimes that's not a good question because it takes away your free will. It takes away your own ability to craft how it goes for you. But, you know, things, we are part of, always part of the play. So it's not written in destiny how things will go. So let's hear how our sources answer how to cope with the stress of change.
Thank you. The stress indicates that you have doubts and hesitancies about how it will go. If you were totally certain about the details of the changeover and about the new classes and studies, if you were certain, then you would feel confidence about it. As you move into the change, you will find out more about how it is going with your reaction to the new program. We see that some of the program is different than some of the other parts of the program. And so some of it will, we expect, be going better than other parts. Once you start the program, you will be able to relax your stress in areas you're hesitant about. As you get grounded, as you get the details of what it is you will be doing, as you relax into it, you will find, we feel, that some of it is more familiar and goes well, and others will need more work to bring you up to speed. And the more work you do and the more you study it, the more you will be familiar with what the new program is and what you are learning, and the more comfortable you will feel. That is how we see it.
Thank you very much. And next question is from John Zaborowski. And he's asking, many of us have heard that there were giants that lived on our planet. There are people that have discovered the bones, the skeletons of giants. And some people say the giants were the Anunnaki. But John's question is, could you tell us where did they come from? How long ago did they exist? How many years ago did the very last giant die? And how long did they live? Okay? Thank you.
Thank you. some of the giants, there are still people that are in the giant class. However, they are not as tall as the previous giants. Some of the giants were from the Anunnaki, and they had elongated skulls. Not only were they very tall, but they were very bright and had elongated skulls. They existed about 450,000 years ago, and there were various changes on the planet. One of them was that there was less oxygen available, and in the area of less oxygen, then the people did better when they were smaller. For a giant, everything was proportional as it is in today's humanity. And so, it being proportional, the giants did very well in their survival. Not only were the giants bigger, but there were earlier than that dinosaurs that were bigger.
Were the giants very advanced? Well, like, for example, in the Bible, there's the story of David and Goliath. Was David one of these giants? Or Goliath, I'm sorry. Was Goliath one of these giants? If the story is true.
There has been genetic... The answer is yes. And there has been genetic carryover from some of the giant DNA into some of the current DNA. Some people prefer having the giant form because it gives them more advantages. They can walk further without as much work because of their larger structure. However, the oxygen on Earth is less at this time, so it is not as easy to be a giant now as it once was.
Did the giants interface with the humans in a way that humans thought they were superior because they were so large?
That the humans thought the giants were superior?
Yeah, because they were large and strong.
The humans still felt they were superior to the giants. The giants felt they were superior to the humans. There were some humans that felt the giants were superior, but the majority of humans felt they were superior.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Next question is from... Don Herman. And Don asks, is there a correlation between cymatics, where sound waves can be used to produce geometric patterns in sand, and the method used to originally create the physical universe?
Would you repeat the question? Your voice is very thin.
Okay, Don Herman, is this better now?
Yeah.
Okay, Don Herman asks, is there a correlation? There's something called cymatics, C-Y-M-I-T-I-C-S, which I never heard of. But it's something where sound waves can be used to produce geometric patterns in sand, etc. And is there a correlation between the way sound creates waves in sand, geometric patterns, and the method used to create the physical universe? Thank you.
Thank you. The physical universe was created out of vibration, and sound was a very important part of all of that. It is a range, a frequency range, but sound is only one part of the frequency range. There are other parts of the frequency range with light and infrared and ultraviolet and moving up into frequencies that are not heard or seen. So waves are an important part of the creation of the universe, but they are not all in the category of sound, although sound is very important.
You know, there's a spiritual group, and there are spiritual teachers that talk about sound and light being the most important aspects of the divine. One of those groups is called Etkan Kar, but there's others. There's particular Indian masters that say they're using light and sound. It seems to be this relates to what you're talking about.
Yes, it does. There is an interaction between the energy created, say the energy we create, and the receipt of that energy in a manifest body. There is light created when the individual spreads his energy out in the thought process, and it moves through the layers of consciousness in his body. There is actual light created. But when we intercept with our energy and the manifest energies in the third density, we create a light pink light. Light is created by the intersection of energies. Sound is created when the energy from the sound wave hits manifest matter and vibrates it and moves it into sound.
Mm-hmm. When two people are gathered, what's the word?
When two people are gathered in my name, in the name of Jesus Christ, he is also there. This does have a bearing on what we were saying about the intersection of energies.
When have you dropped out? We can't hear you.
because Wynn dropped out. Okay, I'm coming out of trance right now.
Yeah.
All right, I am back. I'm back. So,
okay.
Okay.
The question was, you know, the saying that when two or more are gathered, when we gather on the phone, we are two or more gathered, and do we start intersecting our frequencies as well as...
Closer to the mic, man.
What is that?
Come closer to the mic, please.
Is this better now?
A little bit.
Just better.
One. Yes.
Okay.
When we gather as a group, our energies do intersect and do create a light energy. It does create when we do grid healings, a consensus, a healing energy that extends out and intersects with and raises the tone of areas in the world to either a lesser degree or a greater degree, depending upon what we are doing, how we are doing it, and the strength of the energies of the people involved. And we are also combining our energies with your energies to increase the light action.
Thank you. So, I had another question on this topic. So it's a similar kind of action, similar in a vague way to how everything was originally created. Can we say that?
There is. Give us a moment. When we get together and do a grid healing and pray, then we bring that energy into the manifest world, and it is a similar energy to when we created the physical universe and brought different manifestations together, which then would create matter.
Thank you. Next question is from I don't know if we answered John Herman's question. I hope so.
What was John Herman's question again?
Well, it was about where sound can be used to produce geometric patterns in sand, and the method used to create the physical universe. I think the idea is that if you put two sounds together and they're creating patterns in sand, you will get nodes in the patterns where the frequencies combine. Some of you don't understand what a node is, but if you're scientifically inclined, there's something that happens when you put frequencies together. And when you put two frequencies, it could be as simple as two audio frequencies, but it works all, as far as I know, it works all the way through the spectrum. If you put two audio frequencies together, you get additional frequencies in the mix. And the additional frequencies are the addition of the two frequencies and the subtraction. So, for example, if you had 30 cycles and 40 cycles, you would end up with 30 plus 40, which is 70, and you'd end up with 40 minus 30, which is 10. So they would be not as loud, but they would be in the mix, and those are called harmonics. And that's why if you're dealing with music, if a violin plays a certain note, like an A, and a trumpet plays a note, A, it will sound different because they both have different harmonics in the mix, even though they're playing the same A. So if you have a sound wave that's causing sand to create certain patterns, and then you have another one that's causing patterns, I would guess the harmonics would show up in the patterns of the sand. And is there any kind of correlation between that and the way frequencies were combined at the beginning of the universe?
Yes, there is. If you broaden the scope into the full range of frequencies, both audible and visible and past the sensory perception, these do combine in ways that do create the physicality.
Thank you. All right, we have a question here from Jim in Medford, New Jersey. And my thought arises from an observation many of us have witnessed firsthand. People can react strongly when confronted with the alternate realities considered on these calls. As such, I make it a point never to do so except in rare special cases. I understand the natural resistance people have to challenging society's consensus reality program and the perceived control and comfort it provides. With that said, I have come to suspect there's something more to it. Perhaps making the choice to embrace a higher understanding is supposed to be difficult and unsettling if it were easy and it would lack in significance. My question is as follows. Is this observed difficulty intentional by higher design or is a manifestation of the necessity of free will? Perhaps by way of a difficult and unpopular choice, the knowing that results qualifies one could not otherwise possess. I'm not sure what he means there. Is there significance in the difficulty we observe? I think he's asking there that many people can't be open to various alternate realities that when those of us coming to our calls regularly are fairly obviously true, and is the reason they're not open because it's part of higher design, or is it part of programming in the lower realms to keep people in their place?
Thank you. It is part of programming. Some of it has people have been programmed to stay in their place to keep them down, and they still have free will. Often when they are programmed, they think that the programming is all that they can experience. However, if they would be open to gradually accept whatever resonates with them and to move to a higher truth, then they would be able to experience the new paradigm and understand the new paradigm. People have been programmed, but it is like an animal who is chained to a stake, an iron stake, and feels that he cannot move outside of the circle of the chain. And then eventually when the chain is taken away, he still feels that he can't move out of the circle. People have much more latitude to move, to experience, than they realize. But according to their training, which then results in a belief system, that they do not move outside of that belief system. When a person receives training, they would do their best, they would do better to know that that this is training and that they can move outside of their training, but to gradually experience it, to move out of it very gradually, so then they can see and resonate with the new information. One takes on unwanted beliefs. When one has unwanted thoughts and unwanted beliefs, they need to examine that, because when they can let an unwanted belief go, they will begin to expand their horizons.
I think most people have beliefs that are not really founded on experience, or they're founded on just habits of watching television, going to church, their family, and
their experience. Sometimes they have an experience that is particularly relevant to a certain circumstance, and they generalize it and believe all circumstances are like that. For instance, if a child is told by the parent, you know, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet, and then he begins to believe, all right, you know, I really shouldn't talk much. But if he would then be in a different circumstance, and the parent wasn't there, he would no longer have to be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. But he just doesn't realize that his horizons need to broaden and see that there are other people out there would love to hear him talk.
Thank you. I think we have a question here from Bonnie Penners, and except I'm not sure if I asked this previously or not. So if I did, then please stop me. I thought she sent it again today because that she submitted it in the past and I didn't ask it. But she was watching a documentary of the massacre of Native Americans at Sand Creek, Colorado in 1864. And she reacted to the story with much more usual empathetic tears. She noticed a lump in her throat, and tears rolled down my face. I felt a huge wave of deep, deep sadness. Even though I was in a warm room, my body was visibly shaking, as if I was out in the cold. My friend noticed that something was wrong, but I had no explanation for my full-body expression of sorrow.
I had a similar reaction to the movie Dances with Wolves, about Native American culture. So the question is, was this a natural reaction to the horror of the story, or am I closer to it than I remember? Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Thank you. Keep on observing your reactions in that area. You may even attempt to watch some other documentaries. Check and see what might be available and see if your memory develops more concerning it. Do you get any pictures in your mind when you watch this? Do you get vivid pictures of something to do with this that was not on the documentary? You will be able to zero in more and more on accurate memory of your past.
Thank you. And finally, I think she wanted more than that. Sorry. That's it.
We prefer to have you develop your own memory because your memory is there and is beginning to come forward.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So on that note, I'm sorry. Thank you all for putting up with my forgetting, sending out the wrong number. And I don't know how I did that, but I did. But I did correct it, and that's why I was late. And if you missed your question being asked today, please ask it again next week. And I want to thank our sources. Thank Terry. I thank all of you for helping to hold this space. And we love you, and see you Sunday.
All callers are unmuted.
Thank you, Wynn.
Thank you,
Terry.
Thanks, Terry.
Good night. Thanks, Terry.
Thanks, Marilyn. Thanks, Colleen.
Thanks, Colleen.
Thank you, everybody, for showing up.